Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Today, we're going to look at the King Describes the Kingdom. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious everlasting God, we are so grateful that you have given us your word, that we may see you, we may understand you, we may be conformed into your image. Thank you for being with us at this time, and thank you for opening our hearts and our ears and our eyes that we may see. Thank you, Father, for all these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. We have been doing a series on the kingdom and the foundations of it. And it all started with the fact that people will tell you a lot about the kingdom, but really there's only one person we should listen to authoritatively on the kingdom, and that's the king. We looked at, I'm kind of backing up a little bit, we looked at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and we edited out John because the kingdom is not a subject of conversation much there because that sees him as the Son of God. Matthew almost exclusively talks about the kingdom of heaven because, of course, his audience, I'll say that, was at the time was the former Jews, the Christians who were Jews. And so the kingdom to them was something that God was going to establish with them. So it's called the kingdom of heaven. Luke, of course, is expanding the message to all the Gentile world. And so it's much more the kingdom of God. You can go back and listen to that if it doesn't make sense to you. Mark, of course, was the fundamental gospel of the synoptic gospels. And we've been looking at his. We spent a great deal of time explaining how we read each gospel and how they fit together. So it doesn't look like they're contradictions, but also it doesn't look like they are exactly the same version. Now, so last time we were looking at the parable of the sower, and that's the one that Jesus shared with them, and he just shared it with the people. The people left, and the disciples said, "Explain it to us." And that really, I love the heart of that, because that's really where we should all be with the words of Jesus, the words of God, the scriptures. We read it, we hear it, but we need a divine explanation of its meaning. Or otherwise, people go off on a tangent to the left, to the right, trying to tell you what they think it means. And they genuinely may believe it, but it is not accurate to the scriptures. We got to go to the man who told the parable is the man who knows what it means. So what we did with the parable of the sower, which is in all of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And then we've gone on now to see the mystery of the kingdom, which is really contained, again, right after this. Because this parable, remember, Jesus then says, "If how know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables?" In other words, understanding that fundamental parable, then all the other parables can fall into line. They will be understandable. If you don't understand it, you don't understand the others. And then he went on to explain it. And that's as simple as it is. It's not this profound mystery. He says something, then he explains it. We'll see that again in a couple of times today. And so we had read, with what measure you meet will be measured to you again, that it's how we hear what we hear, how we see what there is. And that's what we saw as the mystery of this marvelous parable. So we're going to go on from Mark. Today we're going to, I hope, cover them all. If not, we'll get a good start on the other kingdom parables, because these are the kingdom description from the king. All right. So we're in Mark, because that's where we kind of left off. And then we're going to go on to verse 26, where he says, "So is the kingdom of God." It's as simple as that. The king says, this is what the kingdom is. "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knows not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. And when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in his sickle, because the harvest is come." We're going to keep on going. And he said, "Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God?" Again, he's giving you a different side of it so you can get a hold of what he is saying. Or with what comparison shall we compare it? Verse 31, "It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is grown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is grown, it groweth up and becomes greater than all the herbs, shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." So we have two additional parables about the kingdom there, don't we? One is the seed just grows, you don't know how. And then the other one is the smallest seed grows up to be the largest tree, and even the fowls of the air can lodge in it. Okay. Now these both, again, they almost seem like an offshoot from the parable of the seed sown by the sower in the soil, which was what we had been looking at before. So that is definitely, you know, where we start. We're going to very quickly then go to Luke. We got a couple of places in Luke. Luke, okay, and maybe I'm wrong. No, Luke 13. We're at Luke 13, and we're going to, he's this in Luke 13. What he does is he heals a woman who was the, who was, and he says, is she not the offspring of Abraham? Should she not be healed? And so that takes us down to about verse 20 or so. Verse 16 says, "And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, no question on who did the binding, be loosed from the bonds on the Sabbath day?" Let me just give you a little hint here that I've thrown in for free. If you don't know where the bondage comes from, you cannot know where the liberation comes from. Jesus set her free. The devil bound her, Satan bound her, and Jesus set her free. With your freedom, it's not just that she was physically healed, but that being her mind being chained, her mind being controlled by forces other than the Lord. Okay. Verse 18, and he says, unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took, cast in the ground, and it grew, and waxed great into a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged the branches of it. Then he says again, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. So now we have another one, don't we? We have the seed cast, and night and day it grows, and then when the fruit is full, the sickle goes in. We have another one that we take the smallest seed, but with growth. Again, do we understand that we're seeing a pattern of growth? One thing you can derive from the parables of the kingdom so far is that growth is involved. Amen? So you could have just said, well, seed, but here he also brings in the woman, leaven, puts the leaven, well, you know, the yeast, in the midst of the dough, and it rises. Now, everywhere else, leaven is used of evil, and wickedness. You can look that up and see that. But here what he's showing is that, again, is a growing thing. Yeast is a growing thing. Okay, so now we're going to go back to Matthew. I think, do we have any others in Mark that I really want to point out? We've got Mark 4. Okay, and so he talked about some of the other, well, let's just scooch on back to Matthew, because Matthew is going to be our biggest source here. Well, I tell you what, we got one more in Luke. Let's turn to Luke chapter 10, and we're going to look about 10 verse, oops, I think I made a mistake here. It happens so rarely. Ha ha. Okay. Let's go to Matthew again. Because in Luke we've looked at 8 and 13, I believe. Anyway. So now we go back to Matthew. We'll pick up some of those from Mark. We've read some from Mark. But I think we'll spend a lot of our time in Matthew. Because now remember, this promise of the kingdom was given to the children of Israel. So it's very important to them. The rest of the church that would develop, it was important. But this was a fundamental principle to the church that came from the synagogue. So that's why Matthew spends a lot of time on it. Matthew chapter 13. We will see. Okay, let me see where we start here. Okay. So again, Matthew 13, the first part that we looked at tells about this parable of the seed. And he says, if you understand it, which bear fruit, bring forth some 100, some 60, some 30. Then verse 24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sow a seed in the field, but while the man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then the weeds, appeared also. For the servants of the household came and said unto him, sir, did not you sow good seed in your field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, I love this line, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, will you have us go out and gather the tares up? And he said, no, lest when you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat with them. Verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in a bundle to burn them, but then gather the wheat into my barn. All right, so this is another little twist on this, another version, another outgrowth from this other parable. Verse 31 says, another parable putting forth in him, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in the field. I don't want you just, sometimes we get so focused on the size of the mustard seed that we forget two things. We forget how large the mustard tree is, but the other thing is the man sowed it. No seed that is unsown brings forth any fruit. And that is something you see in each of these parables so far, okay? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took it, sowed it in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now, again, we see the birds' lodging. It's something he is emphasizing, that when this seed is fully grown, it not only exists for itself, but others find shelter in it. And that's just, I'm not going to say any more than Jesus says, but I want you to think about now as we've seen these. And then, verse 33, another parable spoke unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. I haven't ever really thought so much. It's been rolling around my mind, this three measures of meal, three measures of flour. But anyway, it's always three measures. So again, we have this parable both in Matthew and in Luke about the woman with the leaven. Amen? So we have the tree growing with the birds lodging in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We have the one where an enemy has done this only in Matthew. We have the woman with the leavened bread in both Matthew and Luke. All right? We'll keep it going because, I want you to understand how these things fit together. An enemy has done this. And again, we're talking about the reaping, the coming to fruit. Before, in the other parable, he had explained that they are the angels. We'll get to that. Okay. There are three in Matthew that maybe we will do next time, I think. We'll do next time. So it's going to be a second series, something that's very unique to Matthew. So now let's look at Matthew 5, and if I can read my own writing, Matthew 5, and this is another parable. About 15. And this is in his preaching. It doesn't say parable, but it talks about this. Matthew 5:15. So, question mark. It's not really parable, but the principle's there. Neither doth a man light a candle and put it under a bushel, but in a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine that men, when they see your good works, they glorify your Father which is in heaven. Again, remember the birds lodging, and this is other people are seeing this light. Now, again, I said that one wasn't a parable, but look at it in Mark 4, which we kind of read, but I guess I missed that one. Mark 4, because it's backed up there. It was above the answer there. 21, he said, and these are which are sown, and he ends up, the 20 ends the parable, there's some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Verse 21, he said unto them, is a candle brought forth to put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither is there any secret that should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. So again, not a parable, but it is wedged in there that it's important. You know, this is when we were talking about the mystery of the parables, we see that this truth is given. So there's something very profound about it. And if I'm correct, It is also also in Luke, and if I struggle too much to find it, but if so, then see, that principle is in all three of the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels. Okay, and I've got the wrong chapter, so that's not unusual for me. Anyway, this concept of the candle and the bushel, it is not a parable. He doesn't say it is, but it's something that, if you pardon me, sheds light on the parables, because they are all, up to now, they are about seed, they are about growing, they're about increasing, and they are also about that, the other element being that thing of the enemy's done this, you just wait, and that the end time harvest. So all of these circle around that same principle. Let's go back to Matthew 13, where we looked at this, an enemy hath done this. Okay. The tree grows, even in the bird lodges, or no birds, but it grows, is in Matthew, is in Mark, Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 13. So you see that that is a fundamental, again, and it's always around this other parable that is the heart of the kingdom. This is how the king explains his kingdom to you. Now, then we're going to look at this other one. An enemy hath done this. This is in Matthew 13. So again, it's that same, we're kind of circling the same ground. 13, we read it in 24 through 31. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. All right. And that's when an enemy hath done this. Do we go ahead and harvest, take, pull out the tares, or just, and he said, nope, let it all grow together. Now watch this. This is the same as when we did the parable of the sower. We didn't just go off on tangents. We listened to what the king said about his kingdom. So we've read these other parables. Next time we for sure will pick up on the three other parables that are unique to Matthew. But we're going to look right now at this other one, Matthew 13. We read it in 24 to 31. Now keep a going and read verses 37 to 43, or we'll back up a little. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and came into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. This is the heart of what I've been talking about, that they didn't go off thinking, if the other people went away not really understanding or thinking they understood, fine, but his disciples, who really wanted to know, who really had a heart, who'd been in this thing, they came back to him, and they didn't say, well, I think it means this or that. They said, you tell us what that parable means, okay? And he answered unto them, he said, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. And that, again, is the carbon copy from the parable of the sower. The field is the world. So you can't say, well, the field is the church, or the field is the day coming. No, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. Now remember, before the seed was the word. Now the seed is the children of the kingdom. So that also tells me that when he was speaking in the future, the children of the kingdom should be embodying, should be an example, should be a vessel of the word. Amen? So the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Okay, in verse 39, the enemy has sowed them in is the devil. All right? The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. So it isn't, there's no great mystery here that you can't, you don't have to go off on a tangent figuring it out yourself. He tells you specifically what each of these elements of the parable are, okay? And they asked him, so he told them. That's all it is. You ask the Lord, he tells you. Okay, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offended, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Then we have very quickly, and maybe I'll just go ahead and take time to do it so we don't have to do it before. I want you to see we have this major parable, but there these others fall. It's really interesting. There are these one, two, three major parables that are in all the Synoptic Gospels, which is the tree grows, okay, and the birds lodge in it. There is the woman hiding the leaven in the bread and it growing. And then there is this other one where the landowner sows the seed in the field and tares sprout up with it. So those three, and remember, three is the number of complete. Now we have a complete picture of the kingdom. We don't have an explanation of each of those, but we have the explanation of the one. And that one is shows, and these all three have to do with sowing something living and then something coming from it. And so that's this again. This is the king talking about his kingdom. Now, and if you remember then, then we've said, and I was going to go on, but we're just going to take it today. These are the king describing his kingdom. If anybody wants to talk about what the kingdom is, or this is a kingdom message, or this is a kingdom, go back to the king and ask the king what his definition of the kingdom is. And he explains it a couple of places, but he did this in parable so that we will have, he who has eyes to see will see, and he who doesn't won't. So it shouldn't cause controversy. Amen. Now, remember that Matthew talks about the kingdom of heaven, and Luke and Mark never once mention the kingdom of heaven. They talk about the kingdom of God. So very in rapid succession is another set of three. Do you see that? Two sets of three. And so it's like three means complete. So these are completely complete. The first three are in all the Synoptic Gospels. These next three are peculiar to Matthew. And so that's when he is talking to his the children of Abraham, who were the children of promise, until we see later that the promise is also to all of us. Okay, so we're going to keep a reading in Matthew 13, and they're in quick succession. They are either in just one or two verses. Okay, Matthew 13, we said verse 43 ended up this. And so the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's the end of the explanation of that parable. He immediately goes to, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hidden in the field, that which when a man hath found, he hideth for joy thereof, goeth and selleth all that he has, and buys the field. All right? So there's treasure in this field. The man finds it. He goes, sells all he has to buy this field. All right. Verse 45 and 46 is the second one. Again, so they're not the same one. People sometimes mush them together. But again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man. Now, the other one wasn't necessarily a merchant, was he? It's a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. He was looking for, Southern Man found treasure. This man was looking for treasure, and he is a merchant. This is his biz. Okay, Kingdom of Heaven seeks goodly pearls. Verse 46, who, when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. All right? So both of these really are talking, again, they're Jesus is giving these in quick succession. These show that in the kingdom, and this is not the same as the others, in the kingdom, there is something of great value. And it isn't even what it is. How do we react when we find that treasure or we find that pearl? Both of them went and sold everything to lay hold of that one treasure. And this is the Lord. And especially when you realize he's talking to the children of Israel who were the chosen ones, the people of promise, who then became very jaded. They became very skeptical. It says he came to his own and his own received him not. So again, now obviously there were many who did believe, but as a nation they did not. And so what he's telling them is, this is the real deal. This is the genuine article. Go sell all that you have and get it. Now, it isn't just physical things, is it? When he says just release everything else that has a value. I love Paul explains this in his life, that, you know, he counted it all dung and laid everything into what God had called him to do. There's a moment of changing of values. Remember how Jesus said, a man cannot serve two masters. He'll either love the one and hate the other, or cling to the one and despise the other. So, or I got that backwards, but you know what I'm saying. But here he's telling you that it requires a singularity, doesn't it? And there's joy in it. There's joy in this. It's a treasure. Amen. It's not a labor. Okay. And then verse 47 on down tells this, the last one. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered every kind, which when it was full, they drew it to shore and sat down and gathered that good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. Now here's his explanation. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into a furnace and the fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said unto them, have you understood all these things? I don't know any of us can ever say. They say, yes, Lord. I'm not so sure they did, but we don't, any of us ever understand it. Therefore, every scribe which is instructed in the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder who bringeth forth out of his treasure new and old. So there you go. There he's like summing that up in verses 52. But anyway, so this other parable now shows us a net that's cast into the sea. Now, I live right by a great lake, and there's a whole lot of fishing going on. But the way people fish is with a line, with a hook. They're looking for a specific, and depending on what kind of fish you're looking for, what kind of lure, what kind of bait, what kind of all that stuff. But the kingdom of God is not like that. We cast a wide net. And we gather everything in. It's the end of time. The angels will gather everything. Now, everything gathered in isn't going to be righteous or just. There's going to be some bad, and it's going to be thrown away. This really reminds us so much of the parable of the tares. An enemy hath done this. Amen. That the seed was sown, but an enemy snuck in, and then bad was sown in with the good. And the householder said, just leave it. When the time comes for harvest, we'll gather them together, you know. The good, the bad, we'll burn the bad, we'll keep the good into the barn. Now here he is saying it with a net. A big net gathers a lot. In our churches, you cast out a net, you get a whole lot of folk that come in. Some are genuine, some are not. Some some want to be but won't be, etc. There's just, it's a wide net. And they're fish of every kind of description. So we can't, you know, if you're a trout, you can't look at the salmon and say you're not a fish. You know, the salmon can't look at, you know, a carp and say, oh no, you're not a fish. But they're good fish and they're bad fish. There's stuff that they threw out. So it is, we gather everything in. And that, and then at the end of times, look at it, what it says. They brought the net in and they what? Sat down. Remember that. They sat down. Now, sat down meaning it's complete, all right? So we know this is the end of time, even if he didn't say that, but then he says it. When Jesus accomplished his work, he did what? He sat down at the right hand of the Father. Sitting down means it's done. It's complete. Doesn't mean that there's a chair there. It's complete. I sat down. It's like I, you know, when you finish all your chores and you, whew, you sit down. It may not be a sitting, but the angels will gather everything in. They're going to sit down and sort it out. Matthew takes a great deal of time adding these additional parables because it's important for especially those who have that view of the kingdom to understand it. But these, again, are all corollary. These are Jesus describing his kingdom, the king describing his kingdom. The reality is we've got that one parable that is the key to it all. Then we have the mystery of it. And if you take that mystery and apply that to each one of those additional parables, that starts with, how shall I describe? This is Jesus saying, how do I describe the kingdom? There are other parables that had other applications, other purposes, other attributes. But these are the one I've read every single one of them to you, or at least referenced it, that where Jesus says, this is how we describe or explain the kingdom. Amen? So you've got it all in a nutshell. That doesn't mean we don't have to unpack it and peruse it and meditate on it and put it in our life. But when somebody talks to you, and I'm not saying that what they say isn't true, but I'm saying these are the words of the king about his kingdom. These are the parables and the examples that he gave. These are even the explanation of those. There are a couple of different aspects he showed, but there are so many things that are in common. It's a growing thing. It's a living thing. Amen. There's in every single one of these, there is life. There is life, whether it be a tree or whether it be leaven or whether it be a fish. It's growing. It's a living thing. And the king describes his kingdom as alive. Amen. Not to be dissected under a microscope, which is what the Pharisees wanted to do. They wanted to control it. The reality is Jesus is the king of the kingdom. And I'm going to listen to his explanation and his description of what the kingdom is. I hope this series has been of some importance to you, some help, some insight. There's still a lot of work for you to do as you look through it again. But just know that with what measure you meet, it'll be measured to you again. That God loves the one that stays behind and asks and says, what does that mean? As surely as he was faithful to his disciples to explain, so he will be faithful to us to explain. Let's close with a word of prayer. Gracious everlasting God, we thank you for our time together. We thank you for a little bit of insight into the foundations of the kingdom. Thank you, Father God, that we will be part of that gathering in that the angels will do, whether it be a field or whether it be a net, the angels will gather us in. We will go into the barns. We will go into the household of the king. Amen. And that, God, we thank you that we shall see that day. We are grateful for the grace you bestowed upon us to see it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I hope all is well with you. No, we're looking forward to being with you again next time. Bye-bye.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Mist, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcast by calling 516-418-5699. That's 516-418-5699. Now, mark your calendars and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with the Healing Community is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Mist airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 516-418-5699. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand podcast. As you listen to our podcast, click the follow button, and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at area code 314-325-9986. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Mist. And like us, because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him.